This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us on a Wednesday as we roll along and getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL season, kicking off tomorrow, Bears and Packers. All right, I got a message for Ezekiel Elliott and his agent. Just get the deal done already. All right, enough of this. We're close. We're really close. We're super close. We came to Dallas because we're really close. I just get it done already. If you're going to play, play. If you're going to sign, sign. I feel like this has been one of those roller coasters where every other report is that it's close, and every other report out of those reports say that they're not close. The agent said, yeah, we're getting close. Fine, then just get it done. You know who's not close anymore? The Rams and Jared Goff. They reached their deal. They got Goff got $110 million guaranteed on his new deal. And that marries Sean McVay and Jared Goff together. Now, we've said this a million times, and we're going to say it again. Look, you find your quarterback, you got to pay him. And you pay him, and you lock him in for as long as you can, because you don't know where you're going to get your next guy. But it is interesting that Jared Goff's career really just took it to the next level with Sean McVay. Just go back to his rookie season with Jeff Fisher. Did you see anything with that at that moment where you went, hey, you know what? That guy in a couple of years is going to sign a very, very lucrative deal where $110 million of his deal is going to be guaranteed. And he'll be a runner-up MVP candidate going into a season in which he lights the NFL on fire with points. That's the marriage that the Rams like between Sean McVay and Jared Goff. They both seem to play well with each other. Now, it's interesting where Jared Goff will go post-Super Bowl, right? Because clearly there was a change in his game after that big explosive Monday night game when they played against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the 55-51 game where it looked like, whoa, the NFL is heading into arena league-like scoring. But after that, his production went down, and down so much that the Patriots held him to just 3 points. But once you find a quarterback you like, once you find the quarterback that you know you can work with, that's the guy you sign. And the money is irrelevant. The money doesn't matter. Never be blown away by the contracts quarterbacks are getting and how much of it's guaranteed. Revenue goes up, so does the cap, and quarterbacks benefit.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Denver Broncos are the team we're previewing today. It's AFC West week. Season starts tomorrow. Bears and the Green Bay Packers. If you're a betting person, the Bears are favored by 3 points in the game. So Goff got a record deal, $110 million guaranteed. That locks him in through 2024, I believe, and he adds to his rookie deal. Like I said earlier, remember when he was the quarterback of the Rams under Jeff Fisher and really didn't do anything. And not only, look, you expect a rookie quarterback not to do anything. Look, this idea that rookies come in, change the game, and lead a team to the playoffs, that's a nice bonus if you can get it. But for the most part, you're looking for development and growth as quickly as possible. He becomes a veteran and then leads your team to glory. That's really it. But Goff didn't really have a very good rookie season. He was highly criticized. He did a lot of things that people thought in the NFL you can't do with the way he played the game, right? But here comes Sean McVay. Then Sean McVay, this young wonder kid, also gravitates towards Goff. And next thing you know, they're one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. Not only that, Goff becomes an MVP candidate. And he takes the Rams to the Super Bowl. Within a very short amount of years, this is one of the reasons why Jeff Fisher got under my skin so much for how long he was a coach in the NFL. He just, for some reason, kept staying in the league, even after the league was way past him. So now you've got the rise of Sean McVay and the rise of Jared Goff coming together, right? And despite the fact that they went to the Super Bowl and didn't do anything there, there's no reason to doubt that the Rams are going to take two steps back because of that loss. They'll be just as good this upcoming season as they're expected to be. So this is why you pay your quarterback $134 million. Now, the money is rising because revenue is rising. As The Ringer pointed out today, which is in a very good piece about this deal, revenue for the NFL rose to $16 billion. And when that rises, the cap money rises too. So instead of looking at this as dollars, right, in terms of, oh my God, is he worth this amount of money? Put that in context to where the cap currently is, and also put in context where that position is going to pay and keep paying and paying and paying. Because, as many of you know, this is a position where if you've got it, keep it, and if you don't have it, you're in big trouble. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win in this league. And if you have a quarterback that you like, lock him in for whatever it's worth. Right? That's why Patrick Mahomes could be approaching $50 million a year at some point when he's ready to renegotiate his rookie deal. That's where this position is heading. I mean, Goff just turned 25. He got in the league in 2016. He was the number one overall pick. And today, he has guaranteed $110 million coming to him in some form or another during his lifetime, being the Rams quarterback. And even if he's not the Rams quarterback, through injury or something else. That's an amazing transition for a young guy that was picked and then criticized. And it wasn't just a rookie criticism, right? It wasn't just a rookie struggling in this league. No, it was some of the things he did under Jeff Fisher were, oh, I don't even know if this guy can play. And then all of a sudden he could play and really, really, really could play. This is a fascinating development that is just exponentially growing constantly, and that is the price of a good quarterback. Look at the Miami Dolphins, for example. The Dolphins are tanking. They're clearly tanking. Everybody's pointing to this, right? And Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to start. Josh Rosen probably won't change much into that context at all. Why are they tanking? Because they don't have a quarterback. Why would the organization get rid of most of its good players? Because they don't have a quarterback, and they know it. You've got to have one. We know this. We all know this. But it's also keeping that guy, making sure he's going to stay and be married to what you're doing forever and ever and ever. And that's why you get these kind of deals. $134 million off the top for Jeff Goff may seem a little shocking. You put it in the context of the numbers, and it all makes sense. And it's just going to keep increasing as time goes on. What I'm always impressed with is some of the veterans that bounce around the league, the money they get. Right. That, you know, just keep your team afloat, you know, give your team 8-9 wins, maybe a shot at a wild card, some of the money that they get. I live in Nashville. There's a conversation about Marcus Mariota, whether he's a long term kind of guy for the Titans. You got to make sure you have that guy. And if you don't, it's a scary time because, you know, you're not going to be able to win with it. They just gave Jacoby Brissett, the Colts, locked him in for more money. He doesn't get that money if Andrew Luck doesn't get hurt, but now they want to make sure they got their guy and lock him in. So going back to that same conversation we've had many, many times, it's so important to not only have a quarterback, but have a quarterback you know can win and do the things you want as a head coach. These two guys, and Sean McVay and Jared Goff, are now married with the Rams for a while. And they seem to, you know, obviously they seem to work well together going to the Super Bowl last year. Speaking of quarterbacks, John Gruden last night, Hard Knocks' final episode, really, really loves Nathan Peterman. But he's injured. He's got an elbow injury, so he's on the IR. But as the Hard Knocks episode closed last night, overall, it wasn't a good season. It was, I found it really disappointing because I think the expectations are pretty high. They didn't really touch on the Antonio Brown deals as much as I thought. The two situations with him, I thought, could have been explored a little bit more. We got a lot of Gruden, but we didn't get a lot of insane, crazy Gruden. It was just coach speak and a lot of knock on wood and look at this guy and this guy is great. Al, he loves Nathan Peterman. That was pretty much evident. But last night's episode, and I don't know why I like watching it because it's the same thing every single year. It's the cut day. I like to see when they go around during training camp and they focus on certain people, they give the background story with the mom or the dad or talk about his childhood. And they do those sort of off the field features on players. I want to see how they react to getting cut, if they do stay on the team and whatnot. And in the Raiders case, Keelan Doss was a player that was featured prominently in the episodes. Prominently. Because he was a local kid. He was a local kid that went to UC Davis. And he's now playing on the Raiders. And they focused a lot of their attention on Doss, right? When he was out there catching passes. And catch passes he did. Until the game against Seattle, the final preseason game, where he was dropping passes. So Gruden goes up to him during the preseason game, and he's mic'd up, obviously, and he starts telling him about, you got to have an inner clock. You got to know when the ball is coming, et cetera. Got to catch those balls, right? And so he's dropping passes. He improves. He's out there. He's catching more passes. And at the end in the locker room, Gruden tells him, the reason I'm hard on you is because I'm your biggest fan. So now you've got this whole television show that's focusing on the Raiders. They give you these side stories where they feature players. They do this every year, and you kind of get to know these players a little bit, and you'd like to know their fate, right? And then the cut day comes, and Keelan Doss is cut. And John Gruden was asked about this, and Gruden made, I think, the best point about the reality show versus reality, which is what you guys saw on TV is not what we saw when we're coaching him. And that is a really good point. The one that's not explored enough when we get this program every single year. What we see is editors putting together a story. And they're putting together a story because as a sports documentary, it is a fantastic inside look in a training camp. But it does need to be just a little bit more. It can't just be filming practices and games. There's got to be some other narrative to this. And they've discovered that what people do enjoy and they gravitate towards a bit is when they create fan favorites on the show. And you can go through the whole list since Hard Knocks came onto the scene years ago of all the guys in training camp who have become fan favorites because they're quirky in this way or they're quirky in that way or they have an interesting backstory or something about their life is fascinating. And Gruden points out, but that's not the reality of what we see when we go over our tape. See, your tape is different. Your tape includes, oh, he's a local kid. He went to UC Davis. He's trying to fulfill a dream. Look at him catching all the passes out there. He's going to be a star for the Raiders. And Gruden is saying, our tape shows something completely different. And that was just an interesting point that was kind of portrayed last night. All of the fan favorites that we've grown to love, Jason Kaminda with his mom out in Flemington, New Jersey, he got released. Luke Wilson got released, right? Brandon Marshall got cut. And all of these guys that they featured had to be taken, they had to go on to other things. Kaminda went to Detroit. Doss went to Jacksonville. So the one other thing that they didn't do in the series last night was they didn't show any Gruden cuts. These were all guys that showed up, turned in their playbook, turned in their key fob, went into an elevator. They only showed one coach talking to a player. That says, man, it's just a numbers game. Really sorry. I mean, I'll give you an A+ review. Have any coach call me. Have your agent contact me if you need me to reach out to somebody. You're going to make it in this league. It's just a numbers game with us. But man, it's going to be, you're going to be something. You really worked hard. They only did that one time. They did not, and it was not John Gruden. So John Gruden was not shown on camera releasing anybody and talking up anybody or telling anybody that they did a great job, but they got to go. That was it. I was a little disappointed in that because I wanted to see how Gruden did that. But he must have said, nah, don't do that. That's going to be the hardest one as a coach. When you know the cameras are on and you're going to cut a guy when you're doing this Hard Knock show, it's probably the least favorite moment. Yeah, you want to throw some cameras and some mics at practice, fine. You want to mic me up in a preseason game as I talk to my guys, great. But when I'm releasing a guy and it's personal and I got to talk to them about their future, I'd rather you not have the camera on. I can totally see a coach doing that. And Gruden probably said, no, I'm not doing it anymore. But overall, I thought it was a very disappointing season. I thought there were so many things they could have explored. Moving to Las Vegas in a year. The Raider fans, how they dealt with it. How the city of Oakland dealt with it. More on Antonio Brown. They didn't touch on it. Ain't touch on it at all. They just kind of did what they normally do, which is film practice, find a few players, focus on those few players, and get moving on with the game film. That's really it. So a little disappointed. All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. All right, coming up, a feel-good story in sports. It may not lead to anything, but we were wondering if it was going to happen, and it did. I'll tell you what next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, prepare for road trips. Before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance. Before you go, we'll ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so this little bit of news. We talked about it yesterday. At the Notre Dame-Louisville game, a cheerleader for Louisville was hit in the nose by Ann Book, who threw a pass. And by the way, media, get it straight. It was not an errant pass, and he did not overthrow a receiver. He threw it out of bounds on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I hated reading that because it was done, people who didn't understand. It's like badly overthrown ball. No, it was done on purpose. He was trying to throw the ball away.
The ball slipped out of my hands, coach.
Yeah. He felt the Louisville pressure, couldn't find a receiver, and threw it to the cheerleaders. That's what you do.
Aiming for her.
Well, she got hit in the nose, and we talked about this yesterday. She suffered a broken nose. So we said, should Ann Book reach out to her to apologize for this throw?
Or shoot his shot.
Yep, he did. He yes. did reach out and apologize to her on Instagram.
Because well, that's what you do nowadays, right? You don't do
right.
it in person.
It's amazing. You can just go right
do
to
it in person.
Remember back in the old days, you'd have to get a phone number from somebody
yeah.
to reach them?
You had the rotary phone and go, and then if you messed up, you had to start over.
And when you were in high school, their mom or dad would pick up the phone. He'd be like, hey, is Stacy there? You'd be like, huh.
I have a funny story about that. So when I was in high school or college, one of the two, my mom took a phone call for me. And the guy's name is Matt Ornelas. Right?
Okay.
He was a fraternity brother of mine, Matt Ornelas. She used to write on the board, yay, hey, Ron, call back Matt Ornelas. And she thought Nalis was the coolest name ever.
Oh, so she thought there was a person named Nalis.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's the type of phone message. That's what we had to deal with back in the day.
Back in the day, right.
Mom's butchering names.
That's right. So the quarterback reached out to her on Instagram and apologized. And she said, no big deal. You know, not your fault. That's okay. And let's see.
She should have. Nah, she can't get away like that.
She
should have went, you did it on purpose.
Yeah. She should have had more fun with this.
Yeah.
At least I thought so.
Maybe get some Notre Dame tickets.
That's right. She has become really famous now, which is probably more than what she's bargained for on Instagram and social media.
Yeah.
You know how many Marsha Brady jokes were made, though, over this?
It's fantastic.
A million. One commenter on a story, I think it was at Yahoo, posted that, he goes, I'm only here for the Marsha Brady jokes. And it was one after another, after another, after another of Marsha Brady jokes.
I wonder how many GIFs were shown.
Oh, sure,
of
right?
Of that one iconic scene where the football hits her in the nose.
Yeah, exactly. So she's going to be fine. The doctor said that it won't stay like that forever. Very good looking girl. A very nice Instagram page, apparently. And he easily found her and apologized. So there you go. Ann Book. Take your shot, Ann Book. See if you can buy her lunch next time.
Yeah.
Or maybe
he has a girlfriend.
Does he?
You know, but you know.
Oh, that's right.
You can always have some area code strange.
That's true.
Out there. It's all right.
She wrote back, I messaged him on Instagram. I was like, it's all good. It's not your fault. Well, it kind of is his fault. He did throw in the direction of you and the girls.
Yeah, but you know what? You're always keep your eye on the ball.
Right. He should have wrote that back saying, well, I know it's not my fault. I'm still apologizing. And then she could say, well, you were throwing it in our vicinity. And he could say, well, you still should have been looking up. What were you looking at?
Right? She was looking straight ahead. That's the funniest thing about the video is you can't tell what she's looking at.
Yeah.
The play, she's definitely not looking at the play.
I think this is the way, because she wrote back, she said, all good, it's not your fault. Like, how are you supposed to know the ball is going to go directly into my face? That's not your fault. And he could have wrote back, are you questioning my accuracy ability? Because that's exactly where I was throwing it. Like, I was throwing the ball away, but I still know where it's going to go.
Have you not seen
I just
movies?
Assume you were paying attention.
How many movies show that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you just let the guy through. I'm going to take care of him.
Right. She goes, I never liked my nose anyway. That's a, come on. Don't be modest.
Now you never liked my nose.
Never liked your nose anyway.
You know she's going to get plastic surgery offers now.
Probably.
Some plastic surgeon's like, hey, you know, just I'll give you a discount. Just put it on your IG, on your gram. Yeah.
Like it's probably one of the best things social media wise for her she's ever had. I don't know what her Instagram followers were, but now all of a sudden it's skyrocketed because
probably
on
tripled.
National TV she got hit with the head with a football. So
friends are jealous. Her fellow cheerleaders are jealous of her now.
Exactly.
I wish somebody hit me in the nose.
Her name is Elizabeth Scott. She's now famous, and all of her other cheerleaders are not famous.
Would you ever talk about a Louisville cheerleader ever?
No, not at all.
You never mentioned one by name, and now she just got mentioned on national radio.
I know. There you go.
See?
So we've done our part to help the Ann Book Elizabeth Scott relationship blossom and grow. Come on, what a great story this would be if they had got married and had children.
Yes.
So how did you and mom meet? Well, funny that you should ask.
Yep.
Let's watch the tape. See, son, I was going back to throw, and I just decided to throw the ball away. And your mother, sitting over there, decided not to look. She was looking at the game clock or whatever else she was looking at, not realizing that a football was in the air. And now watch as it comes in on a beautiful angle. Bop! Right there, right there. That's when I knew I fell in love.
Yep, sought her out.
I had to apologize to her on social media. Which by then will probably be completely a different thing.
Yep.
You know?
And then someday daughter wants to date. And they go, no, you're just going to have to meet a man like the way I met your father.
Exactly. So start hanging out on sidelines. Maybe one day it'll happen to you. So, yes, love is in the air. Isn't that funny? That's the biggest takeaway of the game.
Yes. That's terrible.
Ann Book hitting a Louisville cheerleader and breaking her nose. That not like, hey, Louisville, Louisville's rebuilding after Bobby Petrino left it a complete and utter disaster. And Notre Dame embarrassed itself last year in the playoff. And will it make enough noise again this year to be in consideration?
And you know what else is going to happen? What was the cheerleader's name?
Elizabeth Scott.
Elizabeth. She's going to be featured coming this Saturday.
Oh, true.
Guaranteed.
True, yeah.
She's going to march onto the field. She will get some camera time.
Oh, is ESPN going to send Marty Smith to Louisville to do some sort of retro piece?
They're sending College Game Day. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Game Day. God.
They're going to be there. Like, we don't normally cover Louisville games, but we're covering the cheerleader.
No, see, I'm thinking more of a Marty Smith or who was the one guy that used to do the real cheesy stuff? Tom Rinaldi. The stuff with the piano music. And the big poetry intros.
Yep.
That was Tom Rinaldi. You should do that too. A face is by other than the name of face. Unless, of course, it's a face altered by a flying football.
God, I need a football to hit me in the face now.
No kidding. Now I'm thinking the same thing. Never too old.
I need to up my Instagram. Well, I guess at first I should get Instagram.
I got Instagram and I just don't take enough pictures.
Yep.
After a while, I realized that'd be my problem.
I would never be there. I would just be there for the comments and to look at other people's photos. I'd be the stalker.
Right.
I'm a gram stalker if I ever join.
Right. So not me. But it is amazing, though, when you're going back to what we were just talking about, it is amazing how easy, like just how easy Ann Book was like, oh, I'll reach out to her and apologize. Boom.
Yeah.
Instagram. Boom. Done.
What's her name? Oh, the name's in the paper or social media? I'll take care of it.
It's easy. It's a piece of cake. I can reach out to her right now. I can do it right now. I don't have to ask somebody. I don't have to find her number. I don't have to make an embarrassing call. There she is right there.
He would have to have his athletic director get in touch with that athletic director to get in touch with the coach to find out which cheerleader actually was. And then they have to exchange numbers.
Yep, you know, not today.
By the time it happened, it was like a month later.
Exactly. Crazy. All right, we'll continue on. Broncos preview next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh, you know what show I did watch after Hard Knocks last night on HBO? I watched The Shop, LeBron James's and Maverick Carter's new sit around. It was good. It was good.
Did you get a Taco Tuesday in there?
I know. I was waiting for a Taco Tuesday. Kevin Love was on it. CJ McCollum was on it. Little Nas X, old Town Road singer, was on it.
It's sad that you have to explain that.
I know.
You know what? Honestly, I appreciate it.
Yep, I do.
I would have said Little Nas X. I would have been like, okay, yeah.
Let's see.
Is he a basketball player, too? Never heard of him.
Charlemagne, the radio guy, he was on there, too. Rob Gronkowski, of course. Yeah, one of the reasons I wanted to see it was Rob Gronkowski talking about Patriots culture. It was very good. There was some emphasis on mental health because Kevin Love was on it. You know, he's dealt with that issue in his past, and that was fascinating to get an insight on dealing with, you know, pressure in sports and getting a therapist and working through some anxiety issues. He talked about living in Cleveland the first year and never leaving his apartment. And then Rob Gronkowski talked about the Patriots culture and how nobody is special on the Patriots, even Tom Brady. It's a different locker room. Kevin Hart told a story about how every locker room he ever went into, all the players would shake his hand and say hi. He went into the Patriots locker room. Nobody would do that. It was just different. But it was really fascinating. It was really good stuff. So it was a good show. It's like a half an hour long, and they all just sit around a barbershop and talk. It was a good show. I hadn't seen it before, and I heard good things about it. So when I saw that it was coming up next, I was like, I'll watch that too. Why not? Let's see what this is all about. But I was really looking forward to Hard Knocks, the final episode, and to finish off the Raiders, and it just kind of wasn't the same. It wasn't really that good. But again, it's the same formula, and so I shouldn't complain, right? I just spent the last few weeks talking about the show and saying over and over again, it's pretty much the same formula for every single team. They did the same thing with the Texans. They did the same thing with the Chiefs. They did the same thing with the Buccaneers. Same thing with the Cowboys. Same thing with the Browns. It's the same formula. You film training camp. You get to know a few players that have interesting backstories. You follow the coach around. Listen to him yap. Watch some of the cool things that they do. Maybe they do something different. Maybe the guys go out fishing, or the guys go horseback riding, or the guys play golf, or whatever it is. You film them off the field. And then game time comes. You watch the game film. You listen to the coaches yap about who did well and who didn't do well. And then you get to cut day, and then the season is getting ready, and it's time to kickstart a new year and how excited everybody is. That's basically it. So I don't know what I was expecting and why I'm so disappointed. They didn't change the and change it up all that dramatically.
All right. So how would you change it?
That's a great question. And I don't think you can, right? I don't think you can. You can't do it in a 100%. Let's just film this, film practice and let that be the story. You can't do it that way. You have to create something. You have to mix it up a little bit. You have to take the players outside of that and get to know them a little bit. Otherwise, there's no reason to. So you need something to kind of pull for, right? They're trying to create a program that gives you an inside look into not training camp. They've already done that. They've done that multiple times. What is camp really like? Oh my gosh, it's really tough. Oh my God, these guys work really hard. Oh, blah, 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 blah. They don't have job security. We've seen that a million times. What they're trying to do is say, this particular team under this particular coach at this particular moment, you're getting an inside look at that, right? Cleveland Browns coming off a winless season, right? Or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with young quarterback Jameis Winston, or the Dallas Cowboys when they first started back in, what, 2002 or 2001 when they kicked this thing off, right? You're getting that particular team. The story is that particular team at that particular time. When we talked about this, when we talked about teams not doing it twice, I don't understand what the problem is. It's not the same team, right? If you did inside, like, what was the team they did many years ago? Baltimore? Well, you could do Baltimore again, right? It's different. It's a different team. Now it's got Lamar Jackson in it, right? You could do the Cowboys again. You could do Kansas City again, right? Different team, different coach, different environment, different circumstances. All of those are true. But the formula works because you get to know some players. Then you get to wonder, are they going to make it or not? Some, they have ups and downs. And then at the end of it, at the end of the 4 weeks, they go, and by the way, here's a guy, he made the team or he didn't make the team. Right? So Keelan Doss was a perfect example of this. They really built him up. They built him up as a local kid making it on the local football team. How great is this story? Except he didn't make the team. He got cut. And Gruden said, you know, we see it differently than you see it. Okay, that makes sense. Because we're not getting the complete picture. Right? We're like, oh, how could they have cut him? He did so well. Well, the only reason you know he did so well, unless you're a huge Raider fan and you're watching every single preseason game in practice. But if you're like me and you don't live in Oakland and you're not watching Oakland preseason games, the only way I knew he was doing well is that Hard Knocks portrayed him doing well. That was it. That was the only thing I got. Right? And it's, you know, and then you get the moms and the parents and they're showing up and they're supporting their, and then you wonder, oh, is he going to make it? I think they did that with a guy last year for the Browns. Remember they had like a tight end for the Browns and he was in New York and his dad had suffered a major illness or something. And he was bonding with his father and the dad was at the game. Like they do that all the time to give you that sort of outside the football story. And then they can't deliver. They give you a, at the end, they go, did he make it or not? And that's really it. Should they have done more Antonio Brown? Yes. Antonio Brown's a big deal. It's a big story. They barely touched on it. And they didn't touch on it in the way I thought they should have touched on it. It's like Antonio Brown recovering from his foot injury. Well, yeah. Give us more of that. He did it in a cryotherapy tube where he burned his feet.
It wasn't like he twisted his ankle running a route.
Right, and yeah, showing the foot was kind of cool, but more details, please. How did he stay in there too long? Was it were they at fault? Was he at fault? Well, give us a little bit more into that.
What about did they ever show Vontaze Burfict and Antonio Brown?
No,
just hanging, because that was another thing. I remember at the beginning when it was first announced, that's what we wanted to see.
They might have in a very brief moment that I might have missed.
I doubt it. You know, you pay attention.
I didn't see it. They did have the helmet issue was they did have Mike Mayock's speech, right? They did show that, but they never really put it in real context. Maybe it was the Raiders weren't open to talking about it. Okay, that's fine, but that was about it. So I don't, you know. Other than that, it just felt like it was a little disappointing. Like it could have been better. So. But I'll take what it can be. All right, the Denver Broncos on the preview list today. Interesting team that is trying to not lose for the third straight year. That seems to be the goal.
That's the goal?
Don't lose for the third straight
year. Don't be below 500.
Right. Don't lose again.
Is 8-8 acceptable?
No, 9-7, I think people would be like, okay, we're making some progress. But this is a weird team because they could have a real amazing defense and the offense could be a real problem. The offense could be not scoring enough points for the defense. And you know how that goes, where the defense plays really, really well, holds an opponent to, let's say, 18 points, and the offense scores 7, right? Like, that's just too much. So that could be the case because the Broncos defense is going to be really good. If healthy, Bradley Chubb and Von Miller and some of those other guys, they're going to be really good. But offensively, Flacco's got to be able to move downfield. Rick Scangarello, first-year offensive coordinator. I'll be curious to see where it goes. I'll be curious to see where it ends up. Offensive line still needs a little bit of work. Philip Lindsay's good. I like that. But other than that, this is going to be a really interesting offense from a standpoint of how many points can they score so they can capitalize on a very good defense. Vic Fangio as head coach, so far so good. Looks like he's doing all the right things. There hasn't been any real controversy in camp in Denver. And a lot of it too is, I think in a lot of cases, whenever a new coach comes in that has a lot of respect, he's not a new kid on the block where you're like, how in the world did they hire that guy? You're getting a lot of, well, Vic Fangio really does know what he's doing because he's been in the league a long time. He's been in the NFL 32 years. He's waited 32 years to become a head coach in this league. And for that reason, he gets a benefit of the doubt if he does change up some things during training camp, or he does things a little differently at training camp. He's seen a lot of guys come and go in this league in terms of coaching, try different things. And he's, you know, so you're not going to get a lot of criticism for some of the, all right, we're going to take training camp in a different direction, and we're going to give the players the day off on this date, or we're going to do a little bit of the different on this. And he's so well respected as a defensive mind that when that you got guys like Von Miller, and again, Bradley Chubb for that matter, and a lot of those guys are just so excited to be in a scheme that is run by Vic Fangio. But offensively, that's a different story. Gary Kubiak was supposed to take over that offense. That was what they thought, right? Way, way back in the wintertime was, all right, we're going to hire Vic Fangio, and Gary Kubiak's going to call plays. Now, Kubiak didn't want to call plays, and he didn't want to work. He wanted to work with his own personnel, and they said, nope, it's you, and these other guys have got to go. And that created a little bit of riff, and he left and went on to Minnesota. So now the Broncos, they were scrambling. Who can they get as an offensive coordinator? And they knew that the trend in the NFL was to try to get a young mind in there. Well, Rick Scangarello is not young. He's in his mid-40s, but it's his first time being an offensive coordinator. And he comes from the Kyle Shanahan mold. That's where he worked with Shanahan in Atlanta, went off to Wagner College, worked with Shanahan in San Francisco, and is now the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos. And he's got Joe Flacco to work with. And he's got Philip Lindsay to work with. And can they put enough points? Can they move the ball downfield? Emmanuel Sanders is coming back from an injury. Is he going to be effective? Can they score enough points? That's the key. The one thing I like about this Broncos team, though, and we'll get a little bit more into it in the preview, the one thing that I have to say that is going to, I think, is going to be in good shape, if not this year, then definitely down the road, is Mike Munchak is their offensive line coach. Now, this is an interesting situation because Munchak actually interviewed for the head coaching position when they decided to go with Vic Fangio. So he doesn't make a move up from Pittsburgh Steeler offensive line coach to head coach of the Denver Broncos. He makes a lateral move as offensive line coach of the Steelers to become the offensive line coach of the Broncos. And he does so for family reasons because he wanted to be out in Colorado. So he takes pretty much the same job, but he's got a weaker offensive line, and he's got a lot more to work with, but that gives him more of a clean slate to build it the way they want. They got Juwan James in a trade, so he's trying to build an offensive line. Will it be effective? There's still some holes there, and I don't think the talent is quite there, but he's the right guy to shape that down the road. I don't know if it's enough this year to build a real, real solid offensive line that's going to spring Philip Lindsay to another huge year like he had last year and protect Joe Flacco enough so that the downfield vertical game can work. I don't know. But he's the right man for the job. That's the one thing I really do like. All right, we'll get more into that. We got a lot to other get to, and then college game as the AP poll came out yesterday. No real changes there. Some games coming up this weekend, including one that really pits the two conferences against each other. And there are some bragging rights on the line, at least for one side of that. We'll touch on that coming up. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh, by the way, the ESPN did a simulation of the season, Ron. And their Super Bowl 54 participants are the New Orleans Saints and the L.A. Chargers.
There we go.
They did 20,000 simulations on their computer program.
20,000?
20,000. Why would you? Why not 50,000, right? Why not 100,000, since we're just going to just throw a couple of thousand 20, out there?
Yeah.
Why don't you just do it once?
Seems kind of an odd number.
So before each season, it says here in the article, before each season, we simulate the entire NFL slate 20,000 times using the ESPN Football Power Index, our prediction and projection system. But I'd like to know what went into that, what creation that was.
You almost get the feeling like when if they do it 20,000 times that there's a guy who spearheaded the whole thing going, guys, I don't know how many times it's going to take, but I want Chargers Saints in the Super
Bowl. That's right.
Bowl.
That's what I was thinking, right? And now if the computer was a Flintstones computer and was like a talking animal, it would turn around and go, oh, my aching head. 20,000 times you make the computer run through an entire season of the NFL. The computer's like, okay, we've got it now. No, do it again. Ugh. Okay.
Is this close enough? We got Chargers, Falcons. Run it again.
All right.
We don't stop until it's Chargers, Saints.
Ugh. Finally. By the way, they predicted that the Pittsburgh Steelers would make the playoffs and lose to the Houston Texans in the wild card matchup.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
If the Steelers lose to the Houston Texans in the wild card round, I will stop being a Steeler fan.
Yeah, that's right? Not going
to
happen.
No offense to the Texans, but that is not going to happen. Sorry, yeah. Computer, 20,000 times. Oh, and this is one of my other favorites. In the other wild card weekend, the Titans beat the Browns 10-9. You're joking, right?
Ooh. Come on. That would be a good game.
Yeah. You're kidding.
That's gridiron football. Hopefully it's at Cleveland.
Yeah. Then the mighty, mighty Titans lose to the Chargers.
Of course they do. Round. Of course.
Chargers then beat the Texans in the conference championship, and the Rams lose to the Saints.
No Patriots.
Patriots, where did they put the Patriots? Yeah, no Patriots. Oh, no. They lose to the Texans.